الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله استغفر الله استغفر الله دعا کے بعد مولانا زہران صاحب سورہ کاف کی تفسیر کریں گے لہذا آپ تمام حضرات سے شرکت کی گزارش ہے اسی طرح یگسٹر کے لیے کوپر کلاس میں پروگرام ہو رہا ہے جس کو مولانا یوسف پیش کریں گے لہذا آپ تمام یگسٹر سے گزارش ہے کہ اوپر کی کلاس میں تشریف لے جائیں جزاکم اللہ تعالیٰ فاحسن الجزا سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والاكرام ربي اضلنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت قدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا اغفر لنا ولآبائنا ولأمهاتنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن رواتنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء وشماتة الأعداء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق ورضاء بالقدر. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك البراس والجذام والجنون ومن سيء الأسقام. اللهم عافنا في أبداننا، اللهم عافنا في أسماعنا، اللهم عافنا في أبصارنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الحزن، ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل، ونعوذ بك من البخل والجبن، ونعوذ بك من الهرم، ونعوذ بك من فتنة القبر، ونعوذ بك من عذاب القبر، ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. اللهم عاتق رقابنا ورقاب آبائنا وأمهاتنا وأزواجنا وأولادنا من النار. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء رمضان، اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء رمضان، اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء رمضان. اللهم حصل مرادنا، اللهم تمم تقصيرنا، اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا، اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا، اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. قريب قريب يا جاي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. My dear respected brothers and elders, today inshallah we will conclude with the tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf. Alhamdulillah, for the past 4 weeks we have been doing the tafsir of this surah. And if you remember, in the very beginning, in the introduction to this surah, we mentioned the reason why this surah came down. And it came down to the fact that a group of people from the Quraysh, they went to Medina to ask the Jews of Medina about Rasulullah ﷺ, how to prove that he was not a prophet of Allah. So the Jews at that time told them to ask the Prophet ﷺ 3 questions. And if he answers them correctly, then it will show that he is a prophet of Allah. If he does not answer them correctly, then it will show that he is a liar. One of those questions was, ask him about the man who ruled from the east to the west. And this man was Dhul Qarnayn. And inshallah today, we will complete that story today, inshallah. and we will conclude the tafsir of this surah. So, getting straight into the story, who was Dhulqarnain? Who was Dhulqarnain? In all honesty, the Quran does not mention much about him. Everything that we have on him, or a few narrations here and there, but there's no concrete evidence as to who he actually was. This man, Dhulqarnain, his story, it comes down to the fitna of power as well. If you remember, we spoke about what is the connection between the stories that are mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf and Dajjal. And this story is in connection to power. Obviously, Dhulqarnain was a just ruler, he was a just king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him everything. And despite having everything, he always remained conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas on the flip side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give Dajjal everything, but he will be totally unaware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will have no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside him. So, getting into the story of who Dhulqarnain was, he is one of four people who has actually gone on to rule most of the known world. This is how the historians have put it out. Two of these people happen to be Muslims, and two of these people happen to be non-Muslims. In terms of the non-Muslims, who were they? There was a man called Bukhtan Asar. Now I tried to look into who this individual was. He was a king from the time of Bani Israel. The other person happened to be Nimrod, very famous Nimrod. So these two were known to rule what was known as the known world at that time. And in terms of those Muslims, so we mentioned two were non-Muslim, two were Muslim. In terms of those who were Muslim and they ruled the world, the first one was Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and the second was Dhulqarnain. Now, when we look into the books of tafsir, when we look into the books of history, we do come across certain mufassirun, certain historians, they actually link him, Dhulqarnain, to Alexander the Great. The great conqueror Alexander, who ruled most of the world, they say that this was the same person. Now, the reason that this confusion can come along and it makes sense is because Alexander, like Dhulqarnain, ruled from the east to the west. This is why this theory has also been put out there. However, Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he makes this very clear. He says Alexander was not a Muslim, whereas Dhulqarnain was clearly a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that theory kind of loses its claim. Where does the name Dhulqarnain come from? Where does the name Dhulqarnain come from? There are a few theories as to why his name has come and how he got his name. The first one is that he ruled from the east to the west. And when we say he ruled from the east to the west, the horns on where the sun comes up from and where the sun comes down, the east and the west. And these are known as the horns of the earth. So that is where he got his name. Another theory is that when he wore his war helmet, when he wore a helmet that he used to wear in war, this helmet used to have two horns that would come out of it. Hence he got the name Dhul. Dhul means the person of two horns. And then another theory is that whenever he would style his hair, he would have it in two braids. He would have it in two braids. And hence that's how he got his name from. Again, all these are theories and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the means to have everything that he required. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this in the Quran as well. Allah, the Quran highlights the fairness of Dhulqarnain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran how he treated people with fairness, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the free will, and how he treated those people that he met, those people that he dealt with all fairness. The main part of Dhulqarnain, the story of Dhulqarnain, where it really picks up and it really becomes interesting, is that moment where he went on to deal with the people of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And this is a very interesting part in the story, because it's not just what happens then, it's what's going to happen in the future as well. Everything that happened from that moment onwards is going to be leading on to what will happen towards the day of Qiyamah. So what happened was, Dhulqarnain, being the king he was going through the lands, and he came across a group of people. And these people, they came rushing towards him, and they were begging him and they were pleading him. They were saying to him, "Oh Dhulqarnain, help us out." Because they knew he was a king, they knew he was a man of many means, they knew how powerful he was. They said, "Help us out. Because there is a group of people who are causing a lot of pain to us. They are tormenting us. They are killing us. They are getting rid of our livestock." Yeah, they are plundering our fields. Now we might not know the value of what a field is because we are not into farming. But in them days, a field was a gold mine. If you had a field and that it was producing crops, it was a gold mine for you. That was your livelihood. That was the means of you becoming rich. And this group of people, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they were plundering these fields. They were killing anyone that would come in their way. Now, there are many theories as to who Ya'juj and Ma'juj were. The simplest one and the most easiest one is that they are from the children of Adam alayhi salam. They are from the children of Adam alayhi salam. And they are humans just like we are humans. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them certain capabilities in which they are allowed to do certain things beyond the scope of a normal human being. And inshallah, if Allah allows us, maybe we can do a series on the signs of the Day of Judgment. And inshallah, in there, maybe we can talk more about what kind of people the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are. Just to give you a hint that when they are eventually released into the world, they will go forth and drink up the waters in the river. The waters that we see, they will drink it all up. This is beyond imagination. As human beings, we barely drink a bottle of water, a 2-liter bottle of water, we barely drink that in one go. But these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the means. And can he not? Of course he can. On one hand, he's given Dhul Qarnain the power, the might, and whatever he needs. And on the other hand, he has made this type of creation and he's given them the means as well as to do whatever they want to do. So these people, they came to Dhul Qarnain and they were begging him. And they told him, Dhul Qarnain, please help us out. Do something. So Dhul Qarnain, as a matter of fact, these people, they also offered him money. They also offered to pay him in order to help them do something between the Ya'juj and Ma'juj and themselves. Dhul Qarnain did not take this money. Again, goes to show his fairness, goes to show what kind of a person he actually was, what kind of a ruler he actually was. He was not a regular person. So Dhul Qarnain, he commanded the people. Now you've got to understand, if I had a diagram, it would have been better. But if you think of a mountain, when it comes down like this, you have like a mountain pass. So this mountain pass is what Dhul Qarnain used. He goes, because the Ya'juj and Ma'juj come from here, this is what we will use to hold them off. So what do? We will fill it up with copper lead. We'll fill it up with metal iron. So whatever kind of iron bricks kind of thing you can find, place them inside this mountain path. So the people, with the help of Dhul Qarnain and his army, they managed to place these iron blocks inside this mountain path. And then Dhul Qarnain, he says to them, blow on them. Blow on them, i.e. to make them warm, make them very, very hot. And again, we mentioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the means of everything. Whatever he required, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the means. So he told them to blow on it, and this caused the iron blocks to become very, very warm. And then Dhul Qarnain, what did he do? He poured copper inside that. That kind of cemented this massive wall that Dhul Qarnain had built. And Dhul Qarnain, as soon as he builds this wall, he looks up at the wall and he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also makes a form of a prediction that this wall will basically stand here until a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause it to be destroyed. And when we look into the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we realize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that a time will come that this wall will be demolished. Now, a few questions. Who is Ya'juj and Ma'juj? Where do they come from? There have been a few theories as to who they were. There was also a theory that at one point they were the Mongols, when they were ruling the world, because they used to do exactly what Ya'juj and Ma'juj used to do, they used to plunder on the earth. But obviously that theory got waved off straight away, as soon as the Mughal Empire had been destroyed. Another thing was, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, what is their thing? When they come back onto the earth, what are they going to do? And what are they currently doing right now as well? So Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they are till today, they are trying to penetrate that wall. Till today. And it comes in a few narrations. In one narration, the Prophet ﷺ, he comes back home and he has a worried look on his face. And his wife asks him, what's happened? So he goes, how can I be peaceful? How can I be at ease when I realize that Ya'juj and Ma'juj have dug a hole and he made some kind of a signal with his hand. A hole that big. In another narration, it says that Ya'juj and Ma'juj, every single day they dig at this wall. They will keep hitting this wall. And every day that they see, every time they see a bit of rays of sun, the leader says, okay, we'll carry on tomorrow. They come back the next day and that wall is now covered up again. It's from the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eventually, one day what will happen is, as they are digging through this wall, as they are digging through this wall, they will hit this wall, they will hit this wall, and eventually again that little beam of sunlight will come again. And the leader will say to his people, he goes, okay, now stop. Insha'Allah, we will carry on tomorrow. Insha'Allah, we will carry on tomorrow. And when they come the following day, they will see that the hole is still there. And that is when eventually they will break through the wall and they will come onto the earth. And this is when they will cause the havoc and the manic that they have. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ has told us that they will cause. If you think about it, when I first mentioned this, in the first session that we mentioned, the power of saying Insha'Allah. When the Quraysh, they came back to Medina, when the Quraysh came back to Makkah, and they asked the Prophet ﷺ these questions, the Prophet ﷺ said, I will let you know tomorrow. What did he forget to say? For those who have joined all four lessons, he forgot to say Insha'Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withheld the revelation for a few days. Coming back now to this story, in the hadith it is mentioned that they will say Insha'Allah. Only by saying Insha'Allah does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep that hole there. Now someone might ask, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do this? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause people to go through so much heartache? Well, this is just the way the world works. And this world is a test. The quicker we come to terms with that, the better it is for us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let us live a life where He is not testing us. Especially us as Muslims. Especially us as believers. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves an individual, believe you me, that individual will go through the most difficult tests. And if you want me to prove that, a simple proof of this is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look at his life from the very, very beginning, let alone the beginning, even from before he was born, his father passed away. And then throughout his entire life, by the age of 8, he had lost his mother, he had lost his grandfather. By the age of 8, his grandfather had passed away. Can you imagine a person who is the most beloved to Allah has gone through all these tests, trials and tribulations? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are we? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us with something, this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves us. And this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants something great for us. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts these trials in our life. Now, would we be alive at the time? Allahu alam. Mathematically speaking, maybe not. But it is very important that we relay this message onto the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Can you believe from the time of Adam alayhi salam, every single prophet spoke to their nations about the trials of the Day of Judgment, more specifically the trial of the Dajjal. Once the Sahabas, they were sat in the masjid and they were talking about the Day of Judgment. They were talking about the Day of Judgment. So Rasulullah ﷺ, he comes into the masjid and he says to them, what are you not speaking about? They go, we're speaking about the Day of Qiyamah and what is going to happen on the Day of Qiyamah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that the Day of Judgment will not happen until 10 signs happen. Until 10 signs happen. And in another narration, it says that once one of these signs they come or start, the other will follow almost straight away. And the depiction that was given is, if you think of a tasbih, I don't know if there's a tasbih here, but if you think of like a tasbih, if you hold it and then you cut it from the bottom, the way the beads will fall down one after the other, that is how the Prophet ﷺ, he kind of depicted the signs of the Day of Judgment. What are these signs? The first of these signs is the big smoke. And like I said, inshallah, if Allah allows us, then one day maybe we can do a series on the major signs of the Day of Judgment. But I'm just mentioning this now because it's connected to the story of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So, the big smoke. The second one is the Dajjal. And we all know how dangerous of a person the Dajjal is. Our entire surah, the very, very beginning of the surah, we spoke about how to seek protection from the Dajjal. We spoke in some detail of what kind of tribulations he would be bringing. The third is the beast. The fourth is the sun coming up from the west. The fifth is the return of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The sixth is Ya'juj and Ma'juj. The seventh is there will be three sinkholes, so 7, 8, and 9. There will be three sinkholes in three different locations. One will be in the east, one will be in the west, and one will be in the Arabian Peninsula. So these are three different signs. And the 10th one will be the fire that will come from Yemen. As we can see, Dhul-Qarnayn, many years ago, he built this wall. Where is this wall? Allah knows best. Again, there have been theories. Maybe it's the Great Wall of China, but it's theories end of the day. It cannot be true. It cannot be the Great Wall of China. But nevertheless, this is a wall that has been built by one of the greatest kings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given power to. And this wall will one day eventually be broken. And when this wall is broken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will allow Ya'juj and Ma'juj to flood the earth. And he will allow them to cause the corruption. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be present at that time. And it's through the du'as of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the destruction of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So just to summarize, inshaAllah, alhamdulillah, for the past 4 weeks, we have been discussing this surah. And alhamdulillah, most of us on the day of Jum'ah, we recite the surah. And we should have this sunnah with it. We should implement the sunnah as much as we possibly can. Every single Friday, try to recite this surah. Now, inshallah, every time you open the Quran to recite this surah, you will have an idea of what is being spoken about. In the very, very beginning, we mentioned the reason why the surah came down. Then we mentioned the story of the men and the cave. Then we mentioned the story of the two brothers and the two gardens. Thirdly, we mentioned the story of Khidr alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, that small encounter between Khidr alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And lastly, we have come to the story of Dhul-Qarnayn. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand the Quran more better. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us that every time we open the Quran, that the love of the Quran enters our heart. Inshallah, we are in the last few days of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to use these last few days in order to get closer to Him, in order for us to be more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala khayri khulki Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmat.